Okay, my dear friends, we are continuing to the Seder of Sharak HaVenus. We're more or less going to just work in the order of the book. It gives us a structure, it gives us a system, and tells me where I'm up to. And the way this book is structured, after the part about the first was the Akdamah, which we went through more or less, there's a part, Shar, or however they want to call it, called Birchas HaShachar. We're officially still in the end of that. And then there's a part called Inyan HaBrachot, about Brachas in general. And after that, we moves on to Tzitzit Besaknesses, which we already did, so that we did out of order. And then Tzitzit and Tefillin, which we'll get to after this. But now we're still in the middle of this subject called Brachas, which is a very fascinating subject, and there's a lot to speak about it, and a lot of different ways of structuring and organizing the discussion about it. We try to give some clarity about this, because over here we have two kavanas that we're going to be doing in this series, like the way I might take a little longer. There's the first, which is where I'm officially up to now, which is Kavanas Me'a Brachas, which we'll get to. And then there's the Kavana, very famous Kavana, at least for people that study in the Rosh Hashanah language. It's called Kavanas Matpe'a Bracha, which is a very general Kavana for every Bracha in the world. Now let's try to see what we can say about the most general aspect of this, and then we get into details, right? When earlier we discussed Birchas HaShachar, and mostly we didn't discuss, to say it this way, we didn't discuss the words Burich Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. The Birchas HaShachar was all about what's the praise, what's the kavana, what's the meaning of Shosli Kol Tzarki and Nes L'Sechvi, all these different parts of the reality, all the different parts of the brachas that are set on this reality, but we didn't really discuss the concept of bracha itself and the kavana of bracha itself and so on. Now the real hesber, the real kavana of the for the general concept of bracha, at least, and the way most brachas are, is really the next part, which is called Kavanas Matbea Bracha. But before, there's a small part, which is over here in the end of Birchas HaShachar, and I'll try to get to why I think it's there, or how it connects to that. And it's the Kavanah of Me'a Brachas. But at least what we could see, what we could learn from there existing a concept of Me'a Brachas, Anjeh Brachas, is something like this. In Chazal, we have to always go back to the source a little bit, and then we understand how Darizal is interpreting it and making it work for him, for his system. In Chazal, in the language, so we have famously Anshek Nes Agdoyla. We're metaken Nischoitz at Tefillah, language and for Tefillah. Now, of course, we can already see in Tanakh a lot of language of Tefillah, and of course the language of Bracha is there already. But the structure, the way in which, what's called liturgy, right? The way in which we daven, the way in which we do Brachas in general, is described generally to Anshek Nes Agdoyla. Although we'll see, maybe there's of course earlier sources, and there's Medrash, and there's different questions about the exact history when it starts, but that's how it's, at least the language in which we daven can be said to ascribe to Anshek Nes Agdoyla. Of course, some parts are even later, and so on. Now, one of the big ways in which, if you read the Mishnah already, one of the ways in which all prayer and all, we could talk about Tefillah in the most general sense and most basic sense as words which people, humans, say in front of God. I think that's the most minimal definition of for language of Tefillah, for Nusach Tefillah. And if you think about it, then you'll see, we discussed this in a certain way in one of the first Akdamas. This is a very complex thing to talk about. Of course, sometimes people ask, or it's a serious question, the Rambam talks about it, why we have language of Tefillah, why there's Nusach HaTefillah, why we have a Siddur, which may be the main part, maybe Tefillah, real Tefillah, like, say Tefillah Deraisa, or Tefillah the concept of tefillah itself is, when you say or use your own words, tell me what your feelings, tell me your requests, what your prayers are. But this is really a very serious question. It's really a very hard thing to get at, very subtle thing that needs elaboration, that needs tools, and needs vessels, and needs to receive kelim for how to express that and how to make it work. Because saying words before God, or from God, or to God, or about God, very lot of different postures, a lot of different attitudes towards it, in which direction it's going, is not something, it's in some way intuitive, and we're all, if you grow up with davening, it's sort of part of your language, part of your life. But to actually create it, to actually, if I would give you an assignment to wake up, in other words, be created, right? Mayda ani lefanecha, that I exist, I created, I was born, woke up this day. Now say that before God, or return that to God in some way. Say thank you. All of these words exist within structures. We have concepts, like we have a concept of thanks. Maybe we could apply it to God. We have concepts of praise, and we could apply them. We have concepts of requests, of petition that we can apply. But in the true sense, none of these words really are adequate for speaking to God, or speaking in front of God, which may be a more minimal definition. In other words, it includes more. Speaking to God is only one way of prayer. We have to be clear about that. And therefore, I think that studying, and Darizal really does this, and of course interprets it in his system, which we'll get to, but studying the language, the forms, in other words, the forms in which Tefillah was put into by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and later on we could follow some changes, but there's certain structures and certain forms that exist very early and in a very encompassing way. Almost all Tefillah and all Tefillah works in similar forms. It's a very important general contemplation that we should think about and try to make work for us, and try to see how it works. So in short, what I'm saying is that trying to work through the categories and the formulations, the forms that we inherit in the Siddur, and we inherit in the way Chazal and the way the Halacha structures Tefillah, is very important to try to create a space, to try to create what we call letters, oisis, or kelim, vessels, ability, tools, right? Tools, vessels, ability to speak words of Tefillah, to have Tefillah do to us what it needs to do, to have it do to the world what it needs to do, to have it all the directions in which Tefillah flows. It's important. We can't assume that we intuitively have everything. Maybe that's true in an undefined way, in an undifferentiated way, right? To talk about Or, the Or of Tefillah, we talk about the essence of it, might be in your soul by itself. It might be something that can't really be elaborated, or it's hard to elaborate, it's hard to give, articulate and give words to. But most of the time we're not there, and most of the time, most of Avodah, I'm gonna skip over the explaining this, talking about this at length, but most of Avodah Hashem, and most of what we study, is not really about touching light, what we call art, not really about the essence of things, because the essence of things is built in. If it's not built in, if you don't have any, if you don't understand the, maybe we could say the call to prayer, if you don't understand the life that life gives and gets and work flows through all of this, then of course none of this is meaningful. But if you do understand, then you also understand that the biggest problem in the world, the biggest thing that stands in the way of that is generally not that there's not enough light. There's enough light in the world for everyone. It's generally that there's not enough kelim, there's not enough tools. And like I say, you wake up, you don't know how. And by studying the tools and trying to work through, and there's a lot of difficulty in this, because although the mitzad ha'ar, there's always any violation, they say the light never changes, the truth never changes, the essence, the abstract essence of things never changes. And in a very significant sense, right? When you wake up and you wash your hands and you say, that's the same light that Avraham Avinu did, that Moshe Rabbeinu did, that Adam HaRishon did. There's no difference. It's the same God. It's the same creature, Nivra, that's created by God and exists as he does and tries to stand before God. It's the same. But the tools and the language and the, in Kabbalah they call it sometimes the pipes, right? The tzinorot, which is a certain image. The way in which this goes up and down and connects, works through, through the time and through space and through conceptual space, is very often hard to get at. And often if you open a siddur, then you see language that is sometimes foreign, sometimes you literally don't know the language, and even if you literally do know the language, it's still not speaking the language that you know, and the concepts might have shifted through history. And trying to do the sort of archaeology of concepts, and since we're reading Kisvarizal, the Rizal has a system which works for him. Most people don't understand his system, is not familiar to them either. So that's another step that, so we're working through levels and levels of concepts, which are, but all of these things are helpful in the sense that at least these are, we could try to get our head around them, we could try to get our heart around them, we could try to work through and then use these tools, use these etzot, use these helpful pointers in order to create our tefillah and our practice, which we have to create. Now, getting back to where I was, one way of talking about this would be, we could talk about different, in Chazal and Medrash, there's, might have discussed this once already, I don't remember, there's a talk about different lishonot of tefillah. So there's maybe 10, there's different 10 or 7 or more different words, different, what's it called, synonyms for tefillah, which we find in Tanakh, which we find in Nesach HaTefillah itself. And various people have worked through tefillah very much through the lens of these different lashonos of tefillah. There's a famous book of the Ber Maim Chaim called Shar HaTefillah, which is totally based on this. And Rabbi Pinkas imitated him and wrote a book called Sha'orim B'Tefillah, which works through this. But even earlier in the, if you read the early Mekabalim and the Zohar, Tikkun HaZohar talks about this. And if you look even the Sefer Ditznes and different places in Zohar, the Zohar talks about this, how there's different prayer languages, right? Just like there's different love languages. There's different prayer languages. And these different prayer languages can be said to be the different words, different synonyms for tefillah, right? So we have the word tefillah, which has one meaning. Maybe we could figure out what it means and disambiguate it from a word like bakasha, or a word like halel, or a word like bracha, which is where we are now. And one language of tefillah, at least a language of tefillah, but we sort of sometimes in our mind disconnected from the concept of tefillah, and it needs to be clarified. And I don't think that this is one of the hardest languages of tefillah to talk about. If you say tzaka, you sort of have an intuitive understanding of what that means. You say bakasha, we sort of understand. If you say shevach, praise, you might understand it. In modern world, praise is not a thing that we really get in a certain way. But and so on. Thanks is something that we get. Appreciation, gratitude. Now, if you look in Chazal, and if you look in the Siddur, if you look in Masechet Brachot, the Masechet which talks about tefillah, the main Masechet which talks about tefillah, there's some other, is called Masechet Brachot. And of course, tefillah is subsumed under the title of bracha, tefillat HaShachar, tefillat HaErev, and so on. And that's true both for the title of the Masechet, which is Masechet Brachot, and for the title, or in other words, the form in which all of tefillah, which Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made, is put in. So we have famously Tefillat HaMidah, which is the main language of tefillah which they created, which is 18 brachot, or 19 brachot now. And then we add, for Kriyat Shema, we have Birchot Kriyat Shema. And then we have Birchot HaShachar, which seem to have a large connection to these, as we've discussed several times. There's 18 Birchot HaShachar, like there's 18 brachot in the Midah. And really, before we get to any of this, we really need to ask, what does bracha mean? And what does bracha do? And there's not an easy translation. This is a question which exists in Jewish thought from the times of Rishonim, at least. where people start to ask, what is the translation actually of bracha? What does it mean? Right? Obviously, bracha means bracha. In English, we say bless. I think that's probably the accurate translation of the word. But how does it work? What does that actually mean? And why would this be the most general term for tefillah? Why is every single thing that we do in Shemoneh Esrei, right? Shemoneh Esrei, the Amidah itself, is separated into three parts, famously, like Shvach, Bakasha, and Hodaya. And all of them are bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Berachas Oves, Berachat Hashem, Echai Ames, Berachat Hashem, Ha'el HaKodesh, Berachat Hashem, HaChonen, Chana Amar B'Leslech. Everything else is said in brachas, and there's different language. Sometimes it starts with Baruch, sometimes it only ends with Baruch, but all of them are brachot. And it seems like I'm saying, this is not a new question, and maybe it's especially somewhat a new question, but it seems like this is one of the words, one of the terms which we totally don't know what they mean, or totally don't intuitively and immediately get to. And usually people, probably when you daven, there's something very interesting which we should notice and we should think about, which is that we talk about tefillah, we're talking about the nesach tefillah now, right? Not the concept or the essence of it. And there's something called Pirush HaMilot, right? You could get a Sidra Meferesh or an Art School Sidra or whatever that has translation and maybe interpretation of each word of the tefillah. And that is a sort of this intellectual pursuit, right? It's like, just like we could translate the Chumash, we could translate the Gemara, we could translate the Sidra. It's not hard. Maybe it's hard. You need to look in the Meferesh and find out what it means every word, and that's all. But then there's really another entire level, someone could really write, and some people have tried. There's some translations of Siddurim which sort of try to do that. I'm not going to mention now any names for it, but which try to talk about this, but we could talk about it in simpler ways. There's a whole, when you actually daven, when you actually use these words, and you think what they mean as a prayer, what they mean as, again, something that has to do with what davening is, not with what the words mean and where they come from and where the source of it in Tanakh and what every farish ever said about it, but what it means. And you'll sort of find a whole different layer. There's a whole different meaning of everything. And sometimes maybe it changes every day. In other words, we could talk about it as kavanot. This is at least one meaning of the word kavanot. When we talk about kavanot, in the sense of kavanot for tefillah, right? You could say, today I'm saying, and people literally do this, obviously, right? And since, like the Rambam says, the nesach tefillah is meant, it's written in that way, to be very general and very, in some ways, very ambiguous. And what you're meant to do, and is literally, and you could also add your own words, but you definitely, in the sense of kavanah, you would mean something else. And we could see this. There's a lot of beautiful ways of seeing this, and now I'm getting into another whole discussion. But for example, I'll give a simple example. We could see this, and we could see also the words changing, but even without the words changing, sometimes words that change are only there to articulate how the meaning changed. For example, we could see how, for example, at least the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei never change, right? Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, Chanukah, Purim. It's always the same exact thing, right? At least the main nesach, the ikra, what we call be'er bracha, the part that's ma'akev, the parts that halachically needed, that's the main thing. The main thing about that doesn't change. Now, obviously, it tastes very different, or it means, you use the language taste, it tastes very different to say Baruch Atah Hashem, Yetzer Ha'er, even, on Yom Kippur, and saying it on Wednesday, Parshas Lech Lecha, today's Thursday, Parshas Lech Lecha, whatever. And how do we articulate, how do we talk about the difference, right? For example, an example that I was thinking about on Yom Kippur, if you, at least in some machzorim, have an Yom Kippur instead of, or in addition to the Brucha of Yetzer Or, they start talking about, which we talk about, HaPesach, HaPesach B'chol Yom Shareh, like as if the door opens, the sun comes out of its door every morning. That's the literal thing, and that literally doesn't change, right? The sun is the same sun every day, and the sun is the same sun that comes up on Yom Kippur. It doesn't change. But the meaning, the kavana of that sun, might be totally different. And then if you look in the Machzor of Yom Kippur, you'll see it says, there's a HaPesach, instead of talking, I think that it's working with this, the HaPesach Luni, HaPesach Shari Mizrach, which it says in Shabbos, it says HaPesach Luni Shari Rachmim, so in other words, as if the light, which we talk about, that the light, the basic light, that literal light that the sun comes up every day, and Yom Kippur, there's a different kind of light, and it's that same light, but it has a different meaning, it has a different resonance, it has a different taste, and it's the taste of slicha, it's the taste of rachamim, and literally Shabbos, we could see Shabbos, we add some more poetry, some more words for the same. Brichas Yotzer, even in the first, in other words, Brichas Yotzer again is literally just a bracha for the sun coming up, and we change it on Shabbos, and again the words are just to articulate this. But even if there would be no words, it would still be different. And these words are just a sign that tells you this is a really, there's a different light on Shabbos than on the weekdays, and the bracha of Yotzer feels different, tastes different on Shabbos than it does in the weekdays, or the same thing with everything else. And this is all just an example to say how the level of kavana, which is really where the real tefillah happens, right? The level of tefillah itself is very different from the level of pirush hamilot, or the level of the meaning of the word as they are. Now, to get back to where we are, and this is an important thing, because sometimes people have this question about kavanas Arizal, and they say, okay, it's a nice, that Arizal works very much with the Muslim, Gematrias, and things like that. And like, okay, but that's not the literal meaning, obviously. And how does this even tefillah at all? Arizal's going to tell me, Berucha is Gematria, whatever it's Gematria, and it's a certain amount of Shemes, Apsag Ma'ben, with this and that. And this is what you should be Mechaven when you say, every time you say Berucha, and you say, well, wait, but Berucha means blessed or praised, let's assume. How does this work together? And the answer is that it's not meant to work together. In only words, you're really talking about two different levels of meaning, or two different levels of Pirush HaMilas. There's two different siddurim. And really, if art school would write a good siddur, and some people have tried to write siddurim that come closer to this, they would write in totally different ways, because they would try to give you a way to actually daven with these words. And getting back to what I was talking about the word Berich, about the concept of Bracha, when you say the word Berich, or you make a bracha, I think that the meaning, and we could have a long discussion about what the meaning of bracha is and what the theological meaning of it is, right? What does it mean to bless God? Does God need your blessing? This is a question that has been floating around in the air for 1,000 years. This is not what you're going to be meaning. And I think, in general, it means nothing. That's really what I got to. In general, most people, it means just thank you, I guess, when you say "bade min mezaynes," or recognition. I recognize that you made the mezaynes, or maybe praise. I think that praise is a concept that needs to be defined better. But it definitely doesn't mean, has very little connection with the literal meaning or with what any siddur is going to tell you it means. And even if you're going to be mechaven, even if you're going to daven with that siddur and say Berich, praised, or source of blessing, different translations that you find, that's not what you are actually being mechaven. That's not what you mean, right? Meaning, and there's different levels of meaning in all human speech, right? I could say pass me the salt, I mean to say I love you, and I could say pass me the salt, I mean to say I hate you. And you might get it from the context and from knowing who I am in general, that words are not, don't convey all the information that the words, that the act of speech is doing, and especially not the words of tefillah, definitely don't convey, at least if you think of the literal and the external sense of the meaning, they don't convey most of what tefillah is, and most of what the kavanah of tefillah is. And all kavanas Arizal, all kavanas tefillah in general, are about working with these levels of meaning, with these levels of interpretation, is interpreting what you should mean or what it should mean to you. And sometimes we could talk about the concept. Sometimes we could give you a literal kavanah, which you should think, you should think and how would I say visualize while you're doing while you're saying those words, or think about, meditate on while you're saying those words, and that will be not as a translation of the word, but as a how to pray with this word and how to what this word means. And sometimes it's just explaining the concept, and maybe it won't be machavenot, or maybe in that itself there's different levels. And this is again something that Arizal does very beautifully, and we'll get to it even in the Me'e Brachas itself, where he shows you how the same structure or the same form of things can have different meaning. And he's going to give you a different kavanah for bracha on Shabbos, and a different one for Rosh Chodesh, and a different one for even for Sunday and Monday sometimes. These are actually things that he does. Okay, so that's for that point. Of course, this is actually not such a good idea to make a siddur, which will elaborate this, or maybe it is, but because it might change every day and it might be different for each person, and therefore some people have said it kavanas ari, and it says almost openly in Shara Kavanas are really only kavanas for one day, and the next day you have different ones, but they're still general forms, like we say, or general formulations and structures which are helpful. So let's actually get to the actual discussion, which is what is the concept of bracha. Now, since this class we can only give the definition which the Mekabulim gave, and really we should let's say it like this, and I'll show you something. The Mekabulim from early Mekabulim already, it's in the Zohar, it's in the Shari Ere, it's in different sources, have read Brecha Miloshen Brecha. So Brecha is a pool in modern Hebrew, and I think also in ancient Hebrew. And they said, or sometimes they say Brecha Miloshen, it's not exactly the same order of syllables, but they say Brecha Miloshen Harkova. In other words, from it's a language, Kabbalah loves language of water, of flowing water, of Shefa, of there's different visualizations, right, of light, of water. Water is one of the very big metaphors, very big images that Kabbalah use. And they said that bracha is actually shouldn't be translated. Or again, I don't know if this is meant to be a little translation or maybe a medrash which gets at the kavana of what you mean or what you feel when you say brich. It's in this language of flow or pooling. In other words, it's like a pool of water or a pool. Now, let's get to more. One second. Let me finish this. There's a pool of water. There's a flow of water. So sometimes we say bruch milishn harkava, like you mavrich a tree, which means to graft, literally to make grow. In other words, to move the flow of energy, water, whatever the metaphor is, from one step to the next step. And that's what they said the language of bracha means. In other words, in the most general sense we could talk about, in other words, we said, everyone knows, and this is also supposed to answer the theological problem of tefillah, and I'm going to say this in a short way because sort of complicated. I don't know which way to explain it. Of course, the very famous problem with tefillah is what was called the problem of changing God's will, which seems should be something impossible, at least in the literal sense, in which petition, the prayer as intercession or petition, you're asking God, well, I know you've done this, but please do something else. That's something that didn't make sense to most Rishonim, to most people doing theology, and in most general terms, the Mekabulim's response, Mekabulim's solution to this problem, was to talk about the way in which God appears and controls and leads and manages the world via the series of, again, things that we sometimes call pipes, again, water metaphor, or streams, or ocean pouring into a stream, pourings out, and flows, and streams, and pipes, whichever language makes more sense, of the, and then we sometimes say the light, or the Again, the Shefa, the Mochin, the all kind of different words basically means the God, right? The God, godliness, which we call Elikus, godliness in the sense of God's actions, God's existing, God's knowledge becoming known as God that exists, becoming known as God that has Mashgiach, that does things, that acts. And seeing all of that as part of a certain defined system through which the flow starts and so descends, right? So I've said the Shtal Shlit descends from the beginning, in other words, from God itself, but at least we talk about from the beginning, from the Sefirot HaKesher, from the first step until it goes down and down and down through all different steps, intermediate steps, until it flows to us, right, to this world. And therefore, the Mekabalim said that really, when you daven, and this is one of the reasons why they would say why all tefillah was put into the language of bracha, because really what we're getting at, what we're doing with tefillah, is connecting this flow, making this flow work better. And sometimes there's like in the pipe, sometimes the pipe is how do you call it? Sometimes something is stuck in it. Sometimes it doesn't let the water flow. It doesn't let the shefa flow through. So you need to figure out what that is and make it work again. And so there's really two main points to this, speaking theologically. One is that this is an image that shows you how the change doesn't happen mitzad de Elyon. The change doesn't happen in God. It's not God that's changing its mind. It's much more the, like we talk about the Ur. God is always, some very often language, the Shefa of God, the Shefa of Kesed, the Shefa in general, in higher levels, is Shefa Tumidi. It's always like that. It's never stops flowing. It's an outpouring. Sometimes we use this language, an outpouring of existence, an outpouring of abundance, which there's no it's full and it's not lacking anything. And Machse L'Rev, it's not lacking anything. It's rich. But in order for us to gain anything out of it, in order for us to get it, we need to make sure that it gets through to us. So really, Tefillah and Avodas Hashem in general is not about fixing God. It's about fixing and creating the Kelim and making, of course, we're not interested in the Kelim. We're interested in letting God flow through those Kelim and this whole order of Shtal Shlis, all the 10 Sefiras, all the, which are basically, this was the Ramak's language, 10 steers are 10 steps from God to us. And of course, there's not only 10, if you add more elements, whatever the amount is, that's the steps it takes for Shefa to get from God to us. Now therefore, all tefillah, all avodas Hashem is really bracha. And we could of course see this very often in biblical language and definitely in language of the Siddur, where we talk about everything as being mevorach as Hashem and being blessed by God's blessing, right? We're learning the Parsha Shavua, v'avorcha mevorchecha v'ayeh bracha. Of course, what does that mean? Why is this so important that Avram should be blessed? Of course, being blessed could include everything. So it's a very good general way of saying all the good things, money and happiness and children and everything else. But upon Kabbalah, really it means dveikus. In other words, really it means that Avram Avini will have, and as Mekabalim say, and it's Nazar this week, and then the Sharaira, which we're going to see, the language of Avram Avini has bracha. In other words, he has the pool, the brecha, the lake which receives all water from God. And that's another word for the Shekhinah. So we're going to go back to, I'm going to show the Shara'ira. I think I'm missing the part where he says literally that it's the name for the Shekhinah, but the Shara'ira talks about, it talks about the Shem, Shem Adonai, Shem Adonai, which is in his whole book, his works through the 10 Sefiras and the 10 Shemes, each one has corresponds to a different name, different Shem Hashem, and the Shem Adna is the Shem of the Shekhinah. And he says one of the words for Shekhinah is Bracha. And he says it could be, I'm going to read from here, but it starts earlier really. The Shem Adna Kedimian Oitza La Kabel Shefa Kala Brachas Vimini Atzilis Vibedimian Brecha Beis Kibel. So he's saying the Shem Adna is always the last, right? The last Midah, which something we could talk about us, it corresponding to us, corresponding to the created world, but in actuality, it's not really talking about it. To get confused, whenever Mekabalim talk about the Shekhinah, they're talking about the Sfira of God, the Sfira of Atzilus, which is the last Sfira. Of course, really, in order to get from the Shekhinah to us is really another step, but often, since we talk about us being a Merkava to the Shekhinah, or the people and being participating in that, so we could almost literally see ourselves as part of that, or as gaining, or like being kind of that middah, or being part of that middah. But and that is always actually generally a lot more defined strictly, where when we talk about Shekhinah, we really mean God's middah, the Shekhinah. And then from the Shekhinah, we would have to get to us. Sometimes he confuses it also, but that's the basic understanding, just so we don't get confused, because otherwise we get a lot of confusion. But in other words, we can see everything in Atzilus, and then we could translate it, or really bring it one more step down to us, or 1,000 more steps, as many steps as are needed. And therefore, since we conceptualize the whole world, or in other words, we conceptualize the Esses Firis as beginning from, he calls it Shem Eya, the Shara Ere, the Shem, the Keser, until the Teferes, which he calls Shem Avaya, until the Malchus, which is called the Shem Adna. The Adna is the Bracha. In what sense is she the Bracha? In the sense of being the receiver of all blessings, or the Kli, like we talk language from Chazal, Kli Marzik Bracha, the vessel which receives all the Brachas, that's the Malchus, and just like a Brecha, right, a pool which to which all the streams, all the different rivers and different lakes and different things, they all pour into this pool, and that's the Shekhinah. So therefore, Bracha, like it says, V'zoysa Bracha, very famous language, V'zoysa Bracha Shebarach Moshe, and you see the Ramban saying, V'zoys, and Zoys is another word for Shekhinah, the Thou in the feminine language is Shekhinah, and it means V'zoysa Bracha got Moshe, and same thing with Yaakov, V'zoysa Shedibelem Aviyam, he gave us the Bracha, and same thing for Avraham Avinu, he received the power of the Shekhinah, and therefore that's another way of saying he is the vessel for all the light, for all the Shefa that comes, that's he knows how to be Mashpiat, how to bring it down, and that's what we do, and every Bracha really is giving the Shekhinah all the different kinds of shefa. Now we can understand that there's 1,000, 100 different kinds of brachas, but each of them correspond to one kind of shefa which the Shekhinah receives. Now I'm gonna continue in the Shara Ere for a little bit, because this is really the source of all of these discussions in even in the Arizal. And the Shara Ere continues to associate this with the Adonim of the Mishkan. Very, very nice language. It's in the Zohar also, this drash, the play of words, where in the Mishkan, there were famously 100 Adonim, so there was the, how do you call it, the Amudim, right, the made out of wood, which are the walls, hardware, I don't remember how many, 48, I think. Amudim, and they were held by a base, right, and the base was made out of silver, and that was called Adonim, and the amount of Adonim was 100. Hatimtzak came, and he says Adon, so that's called Adonim, and he associates this with the word Adonai. So the midah of Adonai, or the Shekhinah, is the stand for all the higher midahs, which we could see as the Amidim, and so on. And he says, therefore, there's Me'a Adonim, 100. That says Ma'as Adonim Le'kikar, Le'mas Kikar Kikar Adon. That's the Pesek in Shemes, which talks about it. The Elim Me'a, so there's 100 Shem Adonis, in other words. If you visualize the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is one of the big visualizations of the whole Seder Atzilus in general, we always visualize the Mishkan, you see 100 times the Shem Adonis under the Mishkan. And that's holding, that's like the floor, that's the base. And he sees it not only as the base, but as... And he says, so in other words, I'm not entirely sure what this language right here means. He's trying to say that they're like 100. You could look at the Shem Adna in general as a big pool, but really, or we could look at it in detail and see it as 100 pools. So there's 100 or 100 pools receiving from that. Maybe, again, like we said, maybe Tishchina has to give us 100 pools, or we have to give her. There's a different, depends on which stage you're thinking about. And then, therefore, he goes on and say, "Leficha chayev odem levarach me'a brachas b'chal yom." Therefore, you need to say 100 brachas every day. K'dal hamshich mekol achas va'achas. Epnei shemay brachas ba'ez shem adnim ela brachas. V'mchis brachah achas poigem matl mem. And therefore, and he's going to start talking about why it has to be 100. But basically, he says, when all the 100 brachas that we do, and this is again, where this is the kavanah that we're trying to get at now. It says in Sechtes Menaches, Hati Yisrael Ma Hashem Lekach Hashem Me'imach, and the Meir said the Drash, at Mo can be read as Me'o, so you have to add a Aleph to the Ma, And it comes from Ma. Ma Hashem. What? What is God asking for him into 100? And he said, what God is asking for you is to say 100 brachas every day. Very interesting, interesting drash. The Rishonim sort of struggle with this drash, what kind of drash this is. Tosva says, and it's brought down on different Mekabalim also, that if you read the whole pasuk, you'll see 99 letters in it. V'ate Yisrael Ma'ashem Nekecha, I didn't count. He said there's 99 letters, which is really the remez of Ma. Al Tikri Ma Elema. And if you think about it, I'm going to go back to the Shtikl Gemara for a second. This is a very, very fascinating drash. Because we have this concept, and we have this concept of 100 brachas every day. Where do we get this concept from 100 brachas? Saying 100 brachas every day. I really have to understand where it starts from. In other words, really what it's saying, and I have some reasons for thinking this. This is really the summary, the sikum, the count of all the tefillahs, all the nesach tefillah that Anshe Knesset HaGdola created. Again, just like we remember, Anshe Knesset HaGdola, everything that they made a bracha. All of the things that they were masakin, probably isn't anything, maybe there's something, but there probably isn't almost anything that is nesach tefillah, right? In our siddur, there's not only brachas, you can see there's tehillim and different things, but those are not from Anshe Knesset HaGdola, those are tehillim, or whatever they are. Or the Zihiratzans and different things. But those are not from Anshe Knesset HaGdola. And Anshe Knesset HaGdola, everything they did was brachas. And what did they do? They did 100. And so whoever counted figured out that there's 100 about, or at least almost 100 for every day. And of course, start with 18 of Shemon Esra and 18 of Berchas HaShachar and so on. You sort of add up the numbers. And so this is really where Mea Brachas starts. In other words, just to be clear, it doesn't start with just having a number and coming up with it. It starts with sort of summarizing and sort of count, giving this total, the sum, the count of how many brachas we do every day and saying these are all the things. And now, Rebbe Meir said a very interesting drash. He said that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu meant when he said, V'ate Yisrael Ma'ashem Lekecha Shel Me'imach Kim Le'ira. In other words, he's saying, what does God ask? So this very famously, weird pasuk, the Gemara Masechta Brachos already asks, what kind of a language is this? All God is asking for you, from you, is to have Yiras Hashem. It doesn't sound like such a small thing. It's like saying, well, what do you want? I'm not asking you a lot. I'm just asking you $10 billion. That's like Ephraim, right? Not a lot, just 400, whatever. That doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara gives some answer. Now, it seems like this drash of Remeir is giving another answer to this question, or at least referring to this question. And he's saying, what does it mean? In other words, what is the practice? And this gets back to what we're talking about brachas a lot. We could talk about great concepts and huge, large concepts and amazing concepts in a lot of different ways, but like I was saying in the beginning of the day. But what does it actually mean? What is the practice? And practice is always very small, extremely small, like a second, like a half a second. That's what practically, what does it mean? What does it mean, Kim Liras Hashem Lekecha? So what it means is, said Remeir, what it means is, say 100 brachas every day. And how long is each bracha? There's some longer ones. The longest ones are, take a half a minute to say in Shemoneh Esrei or something like that. It's not a large thing. And through these brachas, in other words, if you talk about how to have Yiras Hashem, of course, like Kabbalah, this works beautifully because Yiras Hashem is another word for the Shekhinah, or another word for the Midas HaMalchus, which we are calling bracha here, which herself, like we said, is Mea Brachas. She's Mea Adonim, which are Mea Brachas. Or she has, or she gives Mea Adonim, however you want to exactly say it. So of course, that works very well with the Pusik, with the Medrash of Ma Hashem Nekecha Shel Me'imach. But Al Pi Pshat, and that's what I think in the context of, I'll show you just a second, the context of the Medrash and the Gemara is literally talking about this, talking about how there's harder things and easier things, and the harder things are more important. Easier things are more important. He has Mushlav Chosim Shel Zov, Chosim Shel Tit, because it's easier. So why wouldn't you? And on that he brings Remeir, the same Remeir said, Chayev Adam Lavrach Mei Brach Shel Kol Yom Shnem V'at Yisrael Mashal Nekecha Shel Me'imach, and Al Tikrimu Alemeh, that's the explanation. I see it doesn't say here, but I guess it says in other places, or it's different. In other words, he's saying what it means to have Yiras Shemai is only to say 100 times Berachato Hashem. And my friend showed me how the language of the Rambam and Hilchas Brachas is that the reason Anshe Knesset HaGdola were masakin all these brachas is kedei Lizkoires Hashem v'lirim ameni tamid, something like that. And it seems like he's trying to explain this drash of Ke'im Le'ira. In other words, if you will remember God by saying 100 brachas a day, you will have Yiras Hashem. That is what Yiras Hashem is. Now again, I'll pick Kabbalah. And in Kabbalah language, what this really means is, because we need the Shekhinah to have all 100 bechinot, all 100 parts of the Shefa, which is a way of saying all the Shefa can be called Mea Brachas. And Rav Zhigtila, the Shari Oire, is going on to explain why 100, and he says something like this. It's very, just so we have a sort of image of this 100 and how the 100 flows. So since everything is a flow, which starts on top, starts in the more subtle level, starts in the more rachnis levels, and becomes more real or more megusham or more mamashi as it goes down. He says that this is akol tole besod ayak bechar. Ayak bechar is if you write the aleph bet, different ways of writing the aleph bet, is one of the raises who turn it to separate it into three levels, so to speak. So the ones, the tens, and the hundreds, basically. That's all he's getting at, Ayat Bechar, right? It's a 10 base 10 system. Of course, in Aleves, it's not literally that. It's on numbers, and these are base 10 numbers. But this is something that fascinated the Mekabalim always. And he said that the secret of this is, Shisad Koy Lev Yisrael, Shisad Nefesh Reach Neshama. In other words, this is itself, of course, if you know what it means, this is he generally talks about three levels called Keser, like I said, Eya Havaya. And Adna, which are the three levels, or we could talk about in Darizal's language more like Bina, Teferes, and Malchus. We'll see later in Darizal's Kavanah works with that. These are always the three levels. In other words, since we're talking about everything being opening the gates, opening the, making the flow of Shefa flow correctly, flow through all the correct order of things, and receive the bracha, receive the Me'ah Brachas. So we need to know where it starts, and the three most important levels, which we talk about. Again, he calls it Keser, and are these three levels, which we call, he says, the Sod, Kohen Levi Yisrael, or Nefesh Reach Neshama. So everyone knows Nefesh is the Malchus, Ruach is the Teferes, the Shem Havaya, and Neshama is the Bina, which Darizal will definitely call that the Shem Eya. That's the source, which gives the Teferes its Shefa, and the Teferes gives the Malchus its Shefa. And Fia Kazeh, why barchi nafshi? Why not barchi nishmasi? What he means to say is that the nefesh sees to receive all the brachas. In a certain sense, when we say brachas, we are really receiving or really referring to the flow of the shefa through all the levels until the bracha, until the nefesh which receives. And that's why the nefesh tzricha levorach b'kalim ha'brachas, she connect Yisrael. That's the lowest level. So from that, there's a higher level. In other words, a less differentiated level, which is going to be 10. So there's the tens. So we start from the hundreds. The hundreds is the low. Really, we just start from the top, right? But it's just showing you how it goes up. And this is, he's going to say, this is like the structure of trima, right? If you have trima, trima is trima. You have from 100, you give 2 or... It's one, and then from that, so there's like three levels, trima and master, right? So that's how we refers to the structure. We can't pass limit. So what's 100 below is only one above. That's really the very basic Kabbalistic terminology, right? Very little, something very small in the neshama is becomes 100 in the nefesh, and in between it's 10. So really, he's talking about upside down, but if we want to talk about it, in other words, you would say that it starts from 1, the Aleph, then becomes Yud, which is Master, and then it becomes 100, which is Kuf, which is Me'ah Brachas. Therefore, that's the general covenant. So this is a very nice way of showing how this Me'ah Brachas, which is just a way of counting how many Brachas there are in general in one day, is really also the general structure that the brachas are getting at, because the brachas are all getting at this structure, which is 1, 10, 100. So 100 being the most, the lowest level, which is where we have to get it to, right? And we see how there's 100, like in the Mishkan, there's 100 adunim kesef, and this is the secret. This is the kavuna. This is the meaning of all these 100 brachas. So just to finish what we should have skipped, because we're thinking mostly of brachas as a top down thing, but he's talking about how it looks from the bottom up. We said you have your own thing. You have 100. You start, and then you give from that a tenth. So maser. In other words, the levy gets 10. So, and really, what he's trying to say is that his 10 is what becomes your 100, right? Like aser b'shvil shetes aser. If you give maser, because the maser is really the holier part, so the higher part, and the higher levels things look less because they're more mitumtzat, more concentrated, right? They're not as explained, like. Right, like you have one chumash that has 10 mefarshim and 1,000 mefarshim for those mefarshim and so on. And from that, the Levi gives something called masim and amas, which is trimas mas, which is the one. So that's called the sod of ayak, aleph yud kuf, shem en kuf en yud, em en yud en aleph. So therefore, it's important. You can't leave out even one of these mea brachas. Why? Not because each one is important as is itself, but because they are all parts of the 10, which are all then parts of the ones, and then you won't have the one if you don't have the 100. Okay, and this, that's the secret of Yitzchak Avinu, which had Me'a Shurim, which also talks about Maser and so on. Okay. So let's go back to the Arizal's language here, so we'll be able to get it. So therefore, the Arizal says, V'atenevar, inin akiv bracha shtikin duv de melech ul v'shim levrech kol yom. Now, this is another nice connection which we have, and there's sort of a question. We just discussed how this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says when he says Vati Yisrael Ma. It seems to sound that it's a medrash. So if it's a medrash, it's a drash in the pasuk, then it should be deraisa. There were some rishonim that Luchos Gadolos said that Mea Bruchas is a deraisa. And again, I don't think he means the number 100. He means 100 as in the summary, the count of all bruchas that we say. But then there's another medrash, the medrash Nachuma, that says, and there's a pasuk Neuma Gever Hukam Ol. Just talking about David HaMelech. And Melech Nachama says that David HaMelech was famously a plague in the times of David HaMelech. We saw a malach. And it says in the Melech, 100 people died every day. And David HaMelech didn't know what to do. So, and then he understood, or was told, that he should be metaken these 100 brachot. 100 brachot corresponding to the 100 people that were dying from the plague every day. And that's going to stop the plague. And since then, that's what Hukam Oil, because Oil, Ayin Lamed, is Begimatria 100. So that would be the 100 brachas that David HaMelech was metaken to we do. Then Tamar Shalom's worried, and therefore, does that mean that it's not a real drush, or and we just said Anshe Knes Nagdoyle Mede Bracha, so there's different answers to this question, but I'm not worried about the history of it, worried about the concept of it. And of course, and since we're just learning that the bracha is the malchus is maya adonim kesef, that's the middah of malchus. Of course, everyone knows that that's the middah of David HaMelech, so it very much makes sense that David HaMelech should be said to be the one who was metaken mea brachas. In other words, his middah needs these mea brachas, and she is this mea brachas. Now, the Arizal himself starts the kavanah higher than the malchus. Of course, he's going to get to the malchus. Maybe that's the main place which we need to get the brachas to, because if something things don't get to the malchus, then they're nowhere. But like we said, there's at least three layers, and the Arizal generally talks about Imma Zayin Nuk, right? Imma being the Bina, and she gives the light and everything, the Moichen, to the Zerampin, and the Zerampin gives to the Nukva the Zerampin, which is the Malchus, which is where we're going to have the Mea Bruchas actually. And the Arizal's Kavanis always start in the top. He never forgets to start in the right place, well, almost always. And he also shows us how there's really two brechot. And he says, V'ulis barech zayr ampin min abrecha al yoyna. Shehi imay la. And he should get 100 brechas from her. So this seems to be different than the Rejectila's understanding, where there's would be only 10 in the Teferes Lachayda. Which, like he said, for him, he's saying that there's already 100. But of course, it might not be a stida. Maybe it's just different language. But what we're saying is that there's really two brechot. In other words, we could talk about brecha. The whole time we're talking about brecha as the malchus, as the pool in which everything pools to, right? The receiving pool. But there's really also a giving pool, right? This all comes from somewhere. It comes from where? From keseh, from, again, in the way that Arizal generally talks about, it comes from bina, from imelo. And of course, imelo comes from abelo, and abelo comes from higher than that. And we'll see later in the Kavanis Medbe'a Brecha how everything really comes from keseh. So when the structure never changes, just generally talk about Ima. And therefore we say that the first kavanah of Me'a Brachas, or the first step of Me'a Brachas, is to get these 100 brachas from ima to za. That's the kavuna, the first kavuna of 100 brachas, and this would more or less correspond. The Rizal is going to give you his remes. More or less generally corresponds, and of course, this part doesn't need elaboration. Everyone would understand that 100 is 10 times 10. There's 10 spheres, so the light of all 10 spheres need to come to the Shechira. Now, the Rizal is given in his way, and one of the things we get out of his way is that we always get something very practical to be mechaven, to visualize, to use as a kavana, literally, because the Arizal always does things in the way of gematria of shemes. And if you look in the Siddur, right, in the Siddur Ashash, Siddur Arizal, they always show you literally the picture of this shem. So this would be the kavana for the mea brachas. And the Arizal, so he wants to get to 100. So of course, there's the concept of 100 that we just discussed, maybe 10 times 10 and so on. And the Arizal wants to give it to you in the language, in his particular structure, which he always gives. And he says you should look in a drish called Shisha B'nei Le'eh, which he says Ayin Sham. He put in the Vandir Echlus, but so I'm going to do like he does. And he says like this. So he wants to show you something very, very interesting. Let's say it, just to make it more simple. Let's say it in the simplest way, and then we'll get to the details that he gives you. Everyone knows, in Kisva Arizal, and if you don't know it, then you should know it. And this is the most general Kavanah, the most general way. Again, just like we said, Arizal's point, one of the Arizal's big Chedushim is how we could talk about everything in the language of Shemes, and it gives you the exact Shemes, and this is how Kavanas work. So everyone knows in Darizal, just like we discussed, these three levels, and of course we could talk about them as two, three levels, however you want to talk about it. So Darizal always talks about this, the structure of Atzilus, as four Shemes called Ab, Sag, Ma, Ben, right? Shem Ab is the Shem Vayvim El Yudin, Shem Sag is Yudan Aleph, Shem Ma is with Aleph, and Ben is with Hey, and these correspond to the four aces of the Shem, the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He, and correspond to Abba, Imma, Tiferes, Malchus. So again, you have our three levels, right? The Malchus is the Shem Ben, the Tiferes, or the Zah, is called the Shem Ma, and the Imma is called the Shem Sag, and of course she receives from Abba, which is the Shem Ab. So since we generally talk about the Imma giving to Zah, that's the place in which most of the Kavunas of the Rizal of receiving Shefa happen, or receiving Moichen. So Imma is called the Shem Sag. So everyone knows Sag is 63. Now, interesting thing. We can always count two parts of the Shem Sag, of all these four Shemes, Apsag, Maben, separately, right? Let me just show you the picture so you'll be clearer. I'll make a picture myself. Right? The Shem Sag is this, right? So. Make it bigger. Right? So. In other words, the Shem Havayah, the four letters, and then each letter we write out, right? So as if we're saying that each letter, we write it out, and this is the way we write it out to get to 63. Now you could see from what I bolded that is, so this Shem Sag has two parts. There's the actual letters written out simply, and then there's the milli of them, which we fill it when we're filling them out. We're filling them out Yud Vav Dalet and so on. In other words, everyone knows the letters of the Shem Havayah simply are 26, and then adding all these Huvdalid, Yudalid, Vuvvalid, and so on, we get to 63, right? Now, what's 63 minus 26? In other words, if we think of these separately, we'll see that it's 37. So this part is Gematria 26, right? And this part, here you have 10, 20, 27, and 37, right? So this is known in the Kisva Arizal as Laz, very, very often talks about this. So 37, in other words, the Shem Havayah itself is 26. That's the actual Shem. And if you remember, okay, we didn't learn this here. And always when we talk about Shem Sag, it's always like in Pirish. It's always, even the Shem Sag is not a Shem by itself. It's a Shem Havayah, Shem B'chinas Sag. So it's also always a Pirish. We could always talk about this waves of talking about it in two parts. Both of the Shem itself, which is a Shem Sag, but it's just a Shem Havayah. And then the milli of it. And then so the milli of Sag is 37. Now, if we put them both together, which again is interesting because it's double counting. But if you'll count, 63 and 37 is very obviously 100. The Arizal says that this is really the mea brachas that the Imma is giving. Zah is, she's giving herself, which is her moichin, which is called Shem Sag. And if you count what's inside the moichin separately, you'll understand that it's another 37 and it's 100. Now, this, all of this, as the Arizal is one to do is not just some kind of random remez. It has a meaning. And he explains the meaning of here explicitly. And the meaning is like this. And then this will also, I think, explain how we're double counting everything. He says like this, everyone learns, and I'm going to say it in the general sense, and then we'll get in the more detailed sense, and the even more detailed sense. Maybe we'll do it again next time, so we can have clear about this. There's two parts. Darizal always refers, and this is one of the innovations of Darizal also. Of course, we can talk about Imma giving Sheva to Zah, but Darizal will talk about it in a very precise way, and he will talk about two levels of everything, remember. We'll talk about Imma herself giving some vessels, what's called Levishim of Nahi de Imma, Netzach Yisrael de Imma, putting her Moichen, the Moichen that she's giving to Zah, inside that, and that itself going into the Zah. And therefore, there's always three levels. If you look in the Zah, you'll see the Kelim of Zah, inside the Kelim of Imma, Levishim of Nahi de Imma, and inside that, Moichen of Zah, which Imma is giving him. That's one Agdama that I think we already discussed this several times. It's called the Tzelem, it's very important Agdama for Darizal. Second thing is Darizal differentiates, and we've seen this also, differentiates between two levels of Moich Nav Imma being in Zah. There's a level what she calls Oiris Megillim and the level what she calls Oiris Mechassim. So the revealed level and the hidden level. The revealed level is the lower level and the hidden level is the higher level. Of course, in many ways, revealed is better, so it's higher, is only a way of speaking. And why? Because he talks about Netzachod Yisod Emma, and we learned Yisod Emma finishes since Yisod Emma, so Netzachod and Hoyd divide into three parts, which correspond to the three parts of Zah, Chesed, Chachm, Chesed, Netzach. Hoyd Emma, same thing, but Yisod Emma, just like we can see in the Bepsuri Ech Zaleha, the Yisod Emma is short, it doesn't, not actually long, you have 2 feet, but Yisod is not long, therefore only has 2 parts or 1.5 parts, and finishes in the heart, in the Chesed Zah. The Yisod Emma finishes, and therefore the third part of the light, or all parts of the light, Chosodim, which were inside, which were mediated inside Zah by the Kelim of Imma, after that's only true of Mechazel Amala. After the Chazel, since there's no Levish of Imma, so therefore it's all the light is revealed, and therefore the Rizal says that's what a heart really is about. When we talk about the heart versus the mind, the heart is just the place where and the Levishim of Imma stop, so therefore the light becomes a lot more mudgash, a lot more highlighted, since it's revealed and it directly touches you, or directly touches that, which is you. Now, therefore, so that's what it says. V'nei melun ekras v'adisag, v'nei yisod shela mechasa lechsudim ha-mispasht madchud adazak enoida, and you know, you should know already, if you learned Kisvei Arizal, that the yisod Imma is covering on chsudim adazak, and chesedim which are inside until the chesed zah, and b'chinas makam mechisa isag. So as long as it's mechisa, he says, we can see this as a whole sag. So that would be 63. That's part one. The chagach mina chesed lemata mezgalim mechesedim shebakenoida. Afterwards, once we pass the chesed, then the chesedim are megula. They become revealed. The shamba makam magile himili havaya sag shilas. So it says therefore, afterwards, we could talk about it as the 37. So the 37, and we could see this in the Pshat, right? The Shem, like we said, the Mili is like giving a Piddush on the Shem, right? It's not just Yud Hei Vav Hei as they are, it's with a Piddush, Yud Vav Dalet, and so on. So that's another way of saying revealed, right? So the revealed part is last. So therefore, if we think about the entirety of this whole Koyma, right? The entirety of the Moich and the Imma, which are in Zah, we could say Sag, higher part, and Laz, lower part. So that is the simple pshat. If you want to know even a better way of explaining why it's exactly sick, why is exactly the top 63 and 37, you could see in the Rashash gives us the explanation for this, which is these are 10 spheres, right? So Neidim are, there's 10 spheres of Zva, and the first 5, right? Or the first 6, Chesed, Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura, and part of the Tiferes are, it's the first 7, right? if we count kes and das. So it turns out to be the first seven. It's first 6.3. That's really what he's saying. So if it's literally 6.3 and 3.7, right? So the first 6.3 spheres, so third of the spheres. Everyone knows the email finishes at third of the spheres. That's the 63. And then what's left is literally 3 2/3 of spheres, or 3.7 spheres, we could say. Exactly what happens with that third. Arizal didn't forget about it. It's 7, right? Of course, 10 doesn't evenly divide into 3. And Arizal didn't forget about this and wrote a whole Shar in its Chaim called Shar Eino, which talks about this, so don't worry. Everything is very precise here. But basically, that's why it's not just the, like, it's, if you see in Shar Kavanis, you'll see that it's like simply we could just say, okay, the same Sag, can we could talk about Sag and 37, 63 and 37. But actually, if you think about the structure, you'll see that it's actually literally 6 spheres point when and a third of a sphere, so 63, and then 3 spheres and 2/3 of a sphere, so 37, and those are the 10. So this is the kavuna. So therefore, when you'll see in Siddur HaShash this picture, this is the part one of the kavuna. Part one of the kavuna would be literally bechlulis, and we'll get. I'm gonna give to another class, but you'll see bechlulis me'ebracha. So I can't. It's not showing you the whole thing. For whatever reason. One second. Okay. Mechlulis me'abrecha zichaven lahamshich moichen me'abrecha al yoyne leza. Ta'ani zichavna lahamshich ha'moichen slapshe me'naide imam smashed me'hus fi dezakach bat chag. And then for Ibn Spashat Teres Sodim, Abishlish Elyon, which turns out to be 63, so just said Shem Yudev, the Shem Sag. And then it shows you just the Mili, which are the Eres Megillim, which that's Vav Dalet Yud Aleph Vav Yud, and both together is 100. So that's Begematria Meh. Now back to where we are. And then, this is, of course, we didn't forget about the Adna, right? We discussed the main part of the Me'abrach being getting to the Adna, and of course, Arizal didn't forget that. You just started higher, like I explained. But then we got back and we said, now we understand how Sag becomes 100, how we made 63 plus 37 equals 100. And that's literally the Kavanah. And then the Shem Adna, which is where we have to bring it, right? That's the destination address of this Me'abrach. It says also we could make Adna. How is Adna 100? It's a good question, right? Of course, Adna, everyone knows, is 65. So we need to add another 45. Another 35, right? Now, how could we do this? So the Rizal says something like this. So that's 26. So you could make... So how many did we add? So we said we're missing 35. So we have 65. Now we added 16, right? Sorry. We added 25, right? Because we said that the Aleph of Adna, we could write, everyone knows, this is one of the things that he also talks about a lot, we could write Aleph is Gematria 26 by itself, right? Because Aleph has a Yud on top and a Yud in the bottom and a Vav in the middle, so Aleph is 26, and instead, basically this is how we got from Aleph being only 1, the Aleph of Adna counting as 1, to the Aleph counting as 26, so it's 25 plus 25. And now we need another 10, so he says the Nun, we could also write a Nun as a Yud on top and a Nun on the bottom. So, turns out to be 100, and I'll show you the picture so you could. I hope he has a good picture. I think it's not so clear, but if you see the picture, he actually gives you a different shot over here for the Remez of the Nuns, so we don't have this picture. Darizal himself will give the second shot, but we'll get to this next time. Now, basically, okay, I don't have more fancy graphics to show you the picture of this, but that's the how we get Adna itself to be 100, right? So write the Aleph as a Yud Vav Yud, and write the Nun as Yud Yud Nun. Turns out to be, and he said Yud Shev. So there's like the top of the Nun can be seen as another Yud. So that turns out to be 100. So that's the Kavanah of Me'abrachas is Sag Adna.